You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
So we have, look at this, Alan Love, guest attorney, is here today, retired attorney from Wisconsin, prosecuting attorney. Joe Martech, financial advisor, who we call this Team Martech because I'm supposed to show all the time. And nobody else in the team showed. Let's see, Victoria Lloyd says she's coming. Now, let me tell you, with Victoria, she's the hardest working person alive. And 90% of the time, she gets sidetracked by a client or customer. And so you never know for sure she's showing. Vince didn't tell me he's not showing. He may show yet. Now, he normally, our CPA, normally shows because it's nearby. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who lives the closest. His office is right down the street on Martin Downs Boulevard. He's not here. Greg Fasula, attorney, is not here. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, is not here. But am I complaining?
No.
No.
I'm stating facts, right?
You are indeed.
What happened is back in around 2004, we started doing the radio shows, and the concept was very simple. I just saw a sign that was meant for me up on the wall that I can't tell you about. But anyway, the concept of the show was very simple. If you're a credible professional with experience, with some clients, in my not too humble opinion, you normally associate yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your client. So Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and myself started doing these radio shows in about 2004, and the concept was simple. Joe Martech's here to save you money and make you money. An attorney is critical. We had a call today on our other radio station about why he should have an attorney. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things that I do when I normally meet a new suspect or a prospect is ask them if they have a will or a trust. And if they do, one of my next questions might be, where did you have it done and when did you have it done? If they had it done out of state, I normally suggest that they talk to a Florida attorney because Florida law, as opposed to every state, has different rules. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes a will might be valid, but it might cost an extra $500, $1,000, or $2,000 to go through the probate process because of the way it was structured. And that, if that can be avoided for $100 or $200, it's a very smart thing to do. So the question that I usually say is, how long ago was it and in what state? Not that I know the law in every state, and I do not, but I want to make sure that the cart and the horse are in the proper order with my clients. So an attorney that was user-friendly and was not expensive, a good listener, not pretentious, not arrogant, which is a very hard thing to put together with attorneys. I mean, look at Alan. I mean, you know, very arrogant, pretentious. You're falling asleep.
Did you say something, Joe?
Did I say something, right? So Greg Fasula, yeah. I mean, I've known him for over 20 years and happens to be probably one of the very few attorneys I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. He happens to be a very good man. And in our group, our main focus is to help people. It's not to make money. It's to help people. Yes, we have to make a living. None of us are philanthropists, but we provide a service. And the main thing is this: if we can help people and not charge them money, we will. And Greg is one of the champions of that. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor in the world. You couldn't make her lie if you tried. She's going to tell you the straight skinny, whether you like to hear it or not. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Here's a big one to me. People that want to go out and buy a house, the very first thing they should do is contact somebody like Mike or Mike. because he will run a credit check with you on the phone with your permission, and he will tell you within 15 minutes what you can or cannot qualify for. And if you cannot, he'll tell you what you have to do to repair the situation to make it done. So why go out and waste all kinds of time looking for a house that you can't have? Mm-hmm. So he works the cart and the horse perfectly. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, nobody can beat the drum harder for him. The man has pushing 100 companies under his umbrella. In my not too humble opinion, again, is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. He has saved literally thousands of people since I've known him, quite a bit of money, got him the same or better coverage just because he has been in business 38 years and he has this monster book of business. And every company every company out there wants to do business with him because he's got a great reputation. So the concept of the group is to save people money, or in my instance, to make people money and to educate them. So this morning on our WPSL 1590 talk radio station at 11 o'clock every Wednesday, we had a caller that you think after you get old, like Alan, you and I, we would have heard it all, but this was a new one.
This one is indeed. A
guy calls up today and he says, if you win the lotto, do you have to show up in person? No, come on. Pastor Dave, what's your opinion?
Well,
I like to see. That sounds like an attorney to me. You sure you're not an attorney?
I would say at some point you have to appear to prove who you are.
Well, here comes a $64,000 question. And I know people have done this, and I don't know if they did or did not show in person, but we suggest that he call Greg, and Greg might find out or have an attorney that would advise him. One of the things that happens very often before people go claim their winnings, especially if they're very large, they establish a trust. Now, a trust is an inanimate object that has all the rights and authorities of a person, but it physically doesn't need to have an actual person. There are trustees named in it. Like an example, you, Pastor Dave, could have a trust, mm-hmm. and you could put all your assets in that trust, and I could be the trustee for your trust. Mm-hmm. Means I could be in charge of it. You could be the beneficiary, which you would certainly like. You wouldn't like me to handle everything and just give it to me, which I wouldn't mind. Do you have anything, by the way, that I can?
It would be a tiny little trust. Tiny. Yeah.
So the concept is, when it comes to a trust, speaking of Ms. Victoria Lloyd, by golly, she actually did show, which is good.
I know. I was able to break away.
There you go. I was just talking about you just a minute ago. All good things.
Okay, great. I'm surprised.
But we were talking, remember, about the fellow that called in today. Were you there when he called in
about the lottery? Yeah. What did we find out?
Nothing. We haven't found out yet. He hasn't called back, and I haven't talked to Greg, and I don't have a clue. But the key thing was, in my, again, not too humble opinion, if you establish a trust, and the trust has the ticket now, the trustee goes up with the trust and claims the prize. Now, that trustee, they could have appointed and given you power of attorney, Alan, right?
Right, absolutely.
And you could go up and claim that for the trustee, the ABC Trust, and you could be the trustee, and you could get your picture in the newspaper and all that as the trustee for that trust. And I'm pretty sure that's 100% normal and legal.
I'm pretty sure it is, too.
That is.
Yeah.
At least that's the way it works in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I don't think it works anywhere, any place, any different. Right. Trustee is the trustee. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, we could have
a group of people, can't we? Like, say, you know, you want to give a portion to your children.
Trustee has got nothing to do with who gets the money. Those are beneficiaries. A trustee is the one in charge of the trust.
Right, but I'm saying, like, let's say you don't have that, though. You don't do a trust. And you go to your daughter and your son, and you all go and you want to split it up. You could do it that way, too, can't you?
Well, you could do it today or after. It makes no difference.
Yeah.
So that has nothing. That's got nothing to do with anything. It might have to do with taxes.
Right.
Where instead of me paying all the taxes myself, we can divide it up. But if it's $50 million, we're going to be in the top bracket no matter what we do, unless I find 500 people to take the money. So.
We got some people in line over here already at the show.
Yeah. Don't forget.
Don't worry, Joe.
But the concept, literally, as I look at it, when he called in, and I understand, remember I said to him, I says, you know, when you rent this plane, this jet, we'll all go with you. Don't worry about it.
Of course.
And he said, it's not me. I said, well, okay, fine. This is not good now.
It was somebody else.
And somebody else may want to hide that money from somebody. I mean, I'm guessing, right? We don't know.
Knowing you, Joe, with all your ex-wives, I can understand where you go.
but I'm just trying to say that literally, whatever the reason is.
No, it's true.
He didn't want his face shown and didn't want the publicity, and it could be just that reason alone.
Well, you know, we did have that problem one time. Do you remember at the fountains when we were building out the fountains?
And about?
Well, I sold to a young gentleman, and he was with this gal, and they were going to get married, and they had already had a baby, and they won like $52 million in New York. He had won it. And he was a plumber. So he got here, and then he decided he didn't want to marry her, and every family member just kept coming after him and after him.
Yeah.
And so he ran off with his childhood sweetheart, and they had to go somewhere into the mountains and hide because he couldn't go out in the real world anymore. Because once people found out he had that kind of money, nobody would leave him alone.
Well,
the sad part about it, he was going to marry this woman that he supposedly loved so much and had this little baby girl with.
Oh, boy.
And that just changed pretty quick with money.
But I wonder if, you know, like we were talking about it earlier, too, if you're married and you want to hide the money from your wife will come back and sue you later and get the money and divorce you and probably get more than her half, you know, because I don't know what the law is in Florida, and I really don't, and I don't want to even talk about it. But the key thing was this. This is almost useless information. Was it one chance in 292 million is the chance of winning the Powerball today?
Right. Is what it about three, I mean,
it's what they were saying on the tube,
but that doesn't discourage me.
But regardless, if somebody wins $5 million, $10 million, $2 million, it's a big chunk of money.
Yeah, that's good.
And there's going to be taxes, but there are things to do. So normally the average person is going to contact, if they have their ducks in a row, an attorney and a CPA. So let's understand the tax ramifications. What can we do to be legal and avoid taxes? And number three, if we want to stay private, I'm reasonably sure they can establish a trust, give power of attorney, or make a successor trustee for a period of time. All kinds of things can be done to make it done legally. 1-888-221-8990. All right, class. This was a useless piece of information, probably, but you never know. Write this phone number down. It's supposed to be next to your phone. This is important. 1-888-221-8990. That is a toll-free number from any place. 1-888-221-8990. And I will attest to the fact I was in the Bahamas and it worked over there. The radio
Wonderful.
Station. Yeah, I could pick you guys up over there, which was
fantastic.
Which was interesting.
You were in the western Bahamas?
Actually, I was in the Abacos, which is like 100 miles away.
Okay.
And we still, you know, had reception over Wonderful. There. Just one of those things.
Oh, so you could actually hear them.
That's what I just...
I didn't... I thought maybe you said you called in and it worked.
Oh, okay.
But no.
Are you wearing your blonde wig today?
Of course. I wear it every day. I have the... I'm on the flip side.
as long as we have Victoria here... two shows in one day, I think that's never happened as long as I've been here. Victoria.
No, I have. You've been here with me. It just hasn't...
6 years
but
ago.
Two shows,
it hasn't been six
two
years.
Two shows in one day, though.
That, I know.
That's
I'm pretty,
pretty
excited
good. So,
about it.
As long as
I almost
here,
didn't make
as
it.
As long as you're here, let's talk about somebody who wants to sell a home and wants to make a decision of maybe refurbishing it, adding maybe a new kitchen, a new bathroom. What are the decisions that go into whether a person really is going to add value to the bottom line and should do this or should not do that?
Well,
that
the one reason. Thing you got to look at, the number one thing, is how much do you owe on the home? Because if people owe too much money on their home already and then they go and do these home improvements to
Let's say it's older people, free and clear, there's no mortgage.
Yeah, and they don't have any mortgage. The values that you can get out of a home is if you renovate a kitchen, a bathroom, when you do any of those kind of things. And the other thing I tell people, and it is true, you could put, say, oh my God, these are 14 karat gold floors. I spent so much money on these floors. But to an appraiser, the value stops somewhere. They're not going to say they're worth $100,000. So you will get a few thousand more out of it. You might get $5,000 out of something for a bathroom or $10,000 for some improvements that you've made in your home. And it makes it much more desirable. And that's the other thing is, why would somebody, you know, want out of all the homes that are available, why do they want your home? And I tell people when they walk through that threshold and that threshold is clean and everything is fresh and nice and put in place, it makes a big difference because a lot of the homes nowadays are not that way. And clean to one is not clean to another. And it makes a big difference.
You know, it was way back. This is how we met back in the late 70s, early 80s. And you know, Vic would know we at one time had as many as 28 communities working all over the state of Florida. And I used to teach a course. And I used to tell all of my people that were showing, don't tell people they're going to see the most beautiful house in the whole world before you get there. Make it sound worse than it is, because if it's not the most beautiful house and you walk in the door and right away they're looking for this pristine, unbelievable thing, and then they're discouraged. You know, and how many realtors do we know that they overpaint the picture? You know, about what it is.
And then when they put the listing in, this is the other thing. When they put the listing in, they only put the good parts of the house and never tell you about the other bad parts of the house.
That's
not good. I do tell. Yeah. And I tell the story about the pink carpeting. Now, think about it. You're a gentleman that called me on one of my houses. And I said, it was an older home, but very nice. And I said, I just want you to know, before you get there, it has pink carpeting.
Yeah.
Well, he said, pink carpeting?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, pink carpeting. So he meets me at the house. It was dusk at the time. We walk in and he goes, oh, Victoria, this isn't so bad. He said, I had every pink shade in the whole world in my head. And I thought it was just going to be the shocking pink.
Yeah.
Carpeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's pink, but it's not shocking pink. And he bought the house.
Well, there's what I'm trying to say.
And that's a prime example.
If you hadn't told him what color it was, and walked in, he'd probably, it's pink, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
But the point is, and it's a sad thing that very often people, they show something and they want people to buy it, so they try to not show everything. Hey, I'll tell you, there's no such thing as anything that doesn't have some kind of problem. You know, and so you're losing credibility right away when you don't show the whole thing. One of the things about when years and years ago in real estate, the concept of showing real estate is, hey, you got to show this whole thing and you got to point it out and let people roam around, let them look at it, you know, because
touchy feely, we say
everything, whatever it might be. You know, but back when I was in the business, I would sit down and let them roam and I'd listen to them. And if they found something they'd like, they'd come back and ask me a question. Now, I better know what I'm talking about at that point, right?
But a lot of owners don't like that anymore. Yeah. If you're in somebody's home and they have things around, and nowadays things have changed.
Oh, they're worried about people stealing
people,
stuff.
People, yeah. Children, breaking things inside the home.
Of course, you know what? That's Joe Martek when he did this. I owned a realty company, but I never sold real estate that way. We did projects and communities, so we did not have any residents.
That's
we were showing.
Right. So we didn't have that problem there. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm still friends with those people way back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
That we used to sit in their little kitchens of the places and remember have birthday parties together and just really enjoyed each other.
888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Interest rates are still unbelievably low.
Yes.
I listened to CNBC today and they said that even jumbo mortgages now, jumbos, that means $1 million mortgage, $2 million mortgage, they can still get interest rates at or about 4%, which is hard to imagine, but the T-bill rate, which is usually the indicator for what interest rates are going to be charged, have remained low. So this is bargain time like there's no tomorrow, and if anybody in the world was going to buy or sell, boy, you're not going to pick a better time that I know of. And the economy is humming along, doing pretty good. You know, I think what's an unusual thing, normally when the economy is doing as well as it is, interest rates start to zoom up because the inflation starts to kick in and the Fed starts to dampen it so we can go into another recession.
Oh, lovely.
I love the system, right?
We kind of call it a depression because the recession causes depression.
Yeah, boy, you're not kidding. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. So, concept of the group is either to save people money or to make people money. Let me just talk about another subject and jump in. Obviously, it's real hard for me to keep you quiet anyway. I'd say jump in anytime, but I know better. So I had a young man this week call me up. Happens to be a referral from clients of mine that came from WCNO, and he is changing jobs, and he has an existing 401k, and in changing jobs, his income, as he phrased it, is going to go down for the next 6 months or so because the commission goes up, but the salary goes down. So he will take him a while to get the cart and the horse in proper order. So he wanted to know about rolling that 401k into an IRA and then taking money out of it to subsidize his lack of income. And I said, if you, one of the problems that happens, and he was a young man, meaning not 59 and one half, which is one of the rules. If you have a retirement account, whether it's an individual retirement account, IRA, 401k, and you take money out, you're going to be subject not only to tax at whatever your tax rate is,
the penalty,
but
right?
Also to a 10% penalty. So now let's say he said his gross income between he and his wife is going to be about $125,000 this year. He's probably pushing a 30% tax rate. Plus 10 is 40% of every dime he takes out, he would lose in the form of tax. So I said, boy, I'll tell you what, I would be very, very, very hesitant to do what you're saying. On the other hand, if you go to your new employer, ask them if you can roll your old employer's 401k into the new employer's 401k. And if they allow that, the next question is, can I borrow money on my 401k? Because under the rules of most 401ks, you can. You can borrow. That's no tax now. I take out $5,000, $10,000. I have no tax. It's a loan.
Now, you have to pay it back in a certain amount of time.
You have to pay it back over a certain period of time with interest. But on the other hand, that money is still making money on the other side of the coin. So
yes,
it can be a very, very good thing. And what I don't know what the terms would be, but the terms will be set by that 401k. So question is, one, can I roll mine? Two, how much can I borrow? Three, what are the terms of repayment? So that he might be able to put $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 in his pocket and pay no tax, no penalty, and pay it all back, let's say 6 months, a year, 2 years, I don't know what the terms might be, but it's something that I don't think I've ever had that exact question come up. So in the course of a week, we had the lotto,
yeah,
the lotto question, and then this one with the 401k. So I thought, anybody out there that doesn't understand what I'm talking about, you can call the radio station. Even if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, Pastor Tom or Dave or Karen will take your name and number and have me call you back. The concept here is to help you make intelligent decisions. And a lot of times the forest and the trees get a little bit mixed up and people have a bit of a problem understanding it. So understand there's all kinds of wrinkles out there that I try and our group tries to help you avoid taxes and penalties any way we can legally.
Yeah, and you're going to get more of that because there's a lot of restructuring going on in a lot of these companies, and a lot of people are being laid off that have been working for 10 years or 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sad. And then you see that they're rehiring, but they're rehiring in younger people that are, they're going to offer less money.
Coming in less money.
And well, that's sad, yeah. But it's true. And right. You feel like, oh my God, I gave so much of myself to this company.
Downsizing, yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah. They downsize to upsize.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, look at this. That's the way life works. On the other hand, though, when you get full employment, which we are at the threshold, according to the government, of full employment, all of a sudden wages start to come up. And rather than 100 people applying for a job, you might get two. And in order to keep your good people, you're going to have to increase their wages. Now, that's historically what happens. And we should be on the cusp of that happening right now. So we shall see how the things work out. Does that have anything to do with what we're talking about today? No. But it's just useless information that we might as well just throw in there just for the heck of it.
Well, I think it's useful on your end and what you do for a living, because mm-hmm. you're able to help people with their financing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if I was put into that situation, I had the money, I'd want somebody to give me that advice.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Vic.
Yeah.
Do you know the difference between a mutual fund and an ETF?
No.
Was that good or is that good? Here we go.
Should I have said no?
Yeah, no was the right answer.
I should have said yes.
If you'd have said yes, you could have been in trouble, because then I would have questioned you to find out if you knew.
Okay, there is no such thing.
You didn't know. Okay, so Pastor Dave.
Pizza and lasagna. We've already covered that.
Pizza and lasagna, right? Well, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, then we got sidetracked again. I'm trying to educate people on these different types of investments.
Which is good, because I think people are very confused. They don't know what to do, and that's why they only go to banks.
Well, and that's exactly what happens. They get confused. Or when they deal with, like I had a lady that I'm meeting this coming weekend, And she's actually an attorney, and did not know how these investments work. And literally, a lot of things, Alan, you would know, Alan was also a financial advisor, that very often different companies, they have different labels they put on certain investments, which is a clue, like large cap. Well, that means big companies. Small cap, well, that means small companies. Mid cap, oh boy, medium-sized companies. Now, does that mean that they're good, bad, or indifferent? No, but it gives you a clue as to what they are. There's also foreign funds. There are also European funds. There are also Pacific Rim funds. There's all kinds of different places people can
bond funds, real estate funds,
on and on and on.
Name it.
You name it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just talk in generalities what a mutual fund is. A mutual fund, just picture this giant pizza pie in the middle of your table. And that pizza pie is worth $100 million because Pastor Dave and Alan pooled their money, and they went out and bought stock, $1 million, in each of 100 companies. And they put it all into this pie, so they now have $100 million worth of stock in 100 different companies inside of this one vehicle, which looks like a great big pie. And then Joe Martek comes along and says, hey, I want $5,000 worth of all 100 companies. Can you do that? And Pastor Dave says, of course I can, Joe. We will slice you off a sliver of that pie, which you will own all 100 companies. And I say to Pastor Dave, well, Dave, why is this a good idea? And Dave says,
well, because you're diversifying your...
Look at this man. Is he good?
He's been listening to you.
He's been paying attention. The magic word is diversify. Why is it good? Because now I own 100 companies, even fractionally, just a little bit. If one gets in trouble, I've got 99 to help carry it. So that's the mutual fund. Is that pretty simple?
Yes.
Now, does the mutual fund company make money? Of course, otherwise they wouldn't be doing this. So Pastor Dave says, hey, Alan and I are going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% a year fee from everybody that's in that pie. And that fee is different for every single one of these mutual funds. They have to be disclosed, but the average person never sees it or doesn't pay any attention to it. And every time I get a statement from the company, under current rules, most of them do not show the fee that was taken out. But let's assume it's 3% per year. And I put in 10,000, that's like $300. That means every time I get a statement, every single day, they take out 1/365th of that $300. So that $10,000 thing, if it went up 10%, would now be worth 11,000, right? Mm-hmm. 10% of 10,000 minus how many days I was in of 3%. So it could be like 1% at a certain point. So instead of seeing 11,000, I would see $10,900. So yes, they have to make money because they're doing all this work, buying all this stuff, putting it all together, and they've raised the money to do it. So they've got to be compensated. You're still very diversified. There's no such thing as anybody working for free. So just file that away. Being a philanthropist is really hard to do if you don't have money. So like pastors are almost philanthropists. They get paid very little and they work a lot. Is that fair, Dave?
Yeah, you could say
that. I could say that.
One problem with the fee structure, though, is in your example, you're talking about getting that fee and that you also making money. You made 900, the right. Mutual fund company made 100.
Right.
But the problem with the fees is the mutual fund company is still going to get that same fee even if the fund has a bad year and
there
loses
you go.
Money.
So, and that happens in my business. Some of us get a fee whether we work or not, whether we perform or not. It's just the way that works. So that's one of the questions that most people should ask and don't ask very often, unless they're sophisticated investors. But it's called how much do you get paid and how do you get paid? And what do you charge? I mean, it's just pretty simple stuff. So back to this great big pie. Got it? Now, are there negatives with the mutual fund other than the fact that they charge a fee? Well, there's other negatives, and that's called an agent like me would also get a commission. Can you imagine back again working for free again? I know you understand working for free. You're a pastor,
yeah, right?
But I'm just trying to say it. So that's also a question that should be asked. how much is your commission on these things? Now, some of these funds, they have what they call A shares, B shares, C shares. Some of the fees are built in structurally, and that's just what they're going to be. Now, again, there's no such thing as people working for free, but literally what happens is, in theory, over a period of time, you're going to do a whole lot better than if you're in a bank, if you're in the right fund, and if you have, quote, the right advisor, quote, quote. I mean, all these things are variables when it comes to investing. Investing is not easy. It can be complicated. The key to finding the right person to help you with a track record and understanding what you're doing is very important. Now, let's talk about some other things that are negatives of the mutual fund. This is one of my favorite ones. So Victoria comes along because she's making way too much money. And in November, she says, I want to buy $10,000 worth of that mutual fund. And she does, and she puts it in. And then she gets a statement in January that says the $10,000 went down to $9,000 or eight. Pick a number. I don't care because the market took a correction. Mm-hmm. Something went wrong. That doesn't mean the companies have gone out of business because the market goes up and down. Well, then the next month she gets a 1099 that says she owes taxes on that mutual fund. Wait a minute. She calls up and says, Joe, I put in $10,000. My statement says it's worth $8,000. How come I owe taxes? I didn't make any money. Is that a fair question?
Yes.
Yes.
But what would you owe taxes on, though? The loss or the gain of eight?
Was there any gain? You didn't gain.
No, but they're thinking that's a gain.
No, it's not a gain.
So I know it's not, but what are they thinking it is? Why are they taxing it?
I'm going to explain
okay,
it to
go
you,
ahead.
But you have
explain.
To
explain.
I'm trying to. So what happens is this. The mutual fund company, meaning Pastor Dave and Alan, they went out and bought all these shares of stock 10 years ago. Okay? And that December, before the end of the year, they sold X number of shares out of that fund. Everybody that owns that fund shares in all of the profits and gains equally, even if you only owned it for 1 month. So we might have bought those shares for, let's say, $10 a share, and we sold them for $8 or for $20 a share, but Victoria bought them for $30 a share. So the fund made money because they held them from $10 to $20, and Victoria bought them for $30. She lost money, but she has to share in the profits of the whole pie.
Because I bought a portion of it.
Because you bought a portion of it. Okay.
So I buy the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So that's one of the negatives of a mutual fund. And it does happen occasionally now. And it makes people very upset. Because,
and that's something to be looked into before you buy a particular fund. Because the fund will tell you when they're going to pay. What you're talking about is the capital gain dividend. That's what you're basically.
And the other side of the coin is, now, if you only owe that fund for how long, is it a capital gain or ordinary income?
Well, that depends on your personal holding period, but
Let's just say she bought it in November, and now the thing went down in December, and now she gets the 1099 in January. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, you got to look at an accountant to get the tax ramifications, but in the meantime, her value went down, but she owes taxes. Okay, just stay with that thought, okay. Period. You don't need to, I should give the phone number out?
If you'd like.
What's our phone number?
Oh, it's 888-221-8990, toll free even.
I've got to make you earn your keep here.
I know, you got to work with me harder. Yeah.
So now, let's talk about another pie. Pie looks just like that mutual fund, but it's called an exchange-traded fund. Same scenario. Pastor Dave, Alan go out and buy $100 million worth of stock, and they put it all into that same pie. Victoria comes along in November and buys $10,000 worth, and it's an exchange-traded fund, not a mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
Same concept. We got 100. Same thing. You guys are going to charge a fee. But each individual person in an exchange-traded fund stands on their own. They are not commingled or mixed in with anybody else. So even though the fund might have gone down in value, and she did, there's no tax consequence. So what happens is, and sometimes the exchange traded fund has other minor little benefits. This is a very interesting one that I didn't mention. If I buy a mutual fund and I call my broker up at 10 o'clock in the morning and I say, hey, buy that mutual fund for me today. And he says, okay, no problem, 10 grand, I'll buy it. You can't buy it until 4 o'clock today. Close of business. I put the order in today, but it won't post, and the value won't post until 4 o'clock today. Close of the market. When the market closes, that determines the value of all those 100 companies. Same scenario. I call him up tomorrow, and I said, hey, 10 o'clock in the morning, sell it. He said, no problem. It doesn't sell until 4 o'clock today, close of business. It could have gone up, it could have gone down from all that period of time. So is this a main problem? No. Is it a big problem? No. But if you are somewhat short-term money person thinking, you might say, maybe I shouldn't be in a mutual fund, because normally mutual funds are designed for holding for a longer period of time. But the exchange traded fund, when it says exchange traded, means I can buy it and sell it within an hour. I can buy it one right now at 10 o'clock in the morning. I can sell it at 10:30 because it's exchange traded. So the ETF is making a big dent in the market these days, taking over a lot of the mutual fund benefits, because it looks like, smells like, but it has some benefits that you don't have in the mutual fund. Neither one are bad. Neither one are superior under all circumstances. Neither one are inferior under all circumstances. But you as an investor should understand the difference. Now, I have not seen, Alan, and I see 401ks regularly, and I'm sure there are some that have ETFs in them, but they are still very few. Very few ETFs, exchange-traded funds, in 401ks. You can get them regularly in an IRA or in a regular account, but I've not seen many 401ks that have those in it.
I got a question, too.
Well, the few that I've seen, it's your index ETFs, like the S&P 500.
You've seen a couple
in
there.
The Dow 30.
This is good. Ones that are starting to do it, this is good. Indexes are good besides. You know, that gives you the broad market. Okay, you got a question.
I have a question. So if I'm in that pie, and it's the mutual fund.
Right.
And you have to divide up the, you know, the costs where I have to pay taxes on it, okay, because
right.
They take it. So if somebody else is making more money, do I get a portion of their
what
profit
if,
also?
What
do
happens,
they divide that up too?
Here's the close of business on December 31st. Let's just use that as when it closes.
Right.
Whatever the mutual fund company made or lost that year, that whole year, based on what they bought and sold, even though you may only be a customer for 1 month, you share in everybody from the inception on that.
Yeah, which is really not fair.
Well, let me ask you a question. when did you ever learn the word fair?
Never.
We have state fairs, we have county fairs.
No, nobody ever asked me. You know, I try to tell them how to change the rules, but nobody ever asked me. There's a problem.
The exchange traded fund now is extremely fair, using your analogy, because it doesn't mix me together with all of these other people. And it is more liquid, meaning I can buy and sell within an hour or 5 minutes.
So why do we even have mutual funds? Let's get rid of them.
Because they were first.
So
they're slowly being eroded, and people are moving slowly into the exchange-traded fund. Now, there's many, many, many big companies that have been around forever and ever that are mutual fund companies. So they are not quick to make changes. And you have to have these filings with the government, get them approved. I mean, none of this stuff is simple.
It's just like building a condo complex like we did.
Well, I think it's a little more complicated, but that's okay.
But it's still, we still have to get it
all
approved.
You have to get all of these
documents.
You have to get all the documents approved, etc. It's an onerous. And we got to pay all these attorneys. Remember them?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I had a friend that passed away, which you knew, Jean, and she left myself and another lady a little bit of money in a mutual fund,
mm-hmm.
and one of the heirs. Contested it, so they had to hold this fund, mm-hmm. this mutual fund, and
right.
they said, well, we can't release the monies, we're sorry.
Right.
So we lost maybe like 2.5 years of it, but by the time we were done, we really lost it. When they said they had to hold it, they used all that money up. That mutual company said, oh, well, we had to hire an attorney too, we have to protect ourselves. So they're not really holding the money, they're keeping
the money.
Well,
technically, mutual fund, if the money stayed invested in that mutual fund for that 2.5 year period, it stayed right there. Those shares were there, the price for the shares were there.
Yeah, but they kept it. We lost all that money.
What I'm trying to say is the fund might have lost money.
No.
How do you know?
Because they said the reason we're not getting it is because.
I would go back and triple check, because there might be attorney's fees on the outside, but the mutual fund company, whoever owns that mutual fund, let's say it was the estate of, now the attorneys that are taking that estate, they might be taking the money out of that mutual fund to pay their fees.
No, because we had to pay our own fees. Each party did our own personal attorney fees. And then
I know what I'm trying to say is that
the mutual the fund company said that they had to hire attorneys to protect them.
Okay, well.
It was interesting.
Anyway.
I wasn't expecting that.
Let's just say you and I are going to respectfully disagree on that one, because the mutual fund company has no relationship whatsoever except to the owner of that mutual fund, which is now the estate, which is now managed by an attorney. I bet you anything.
Which is their attorney.
No, it's the estate's attorney. So here's the estate. The estate is Mrs. Jones, and she dies, and she's got beneficiaries, and it's contested. Money is not distributed until the contesting is over. In the meantime, as it's contested, and the estate hires an attorney, and you hire an attorney, the estate is going to get paid before that money is distributed, and an attorney is going to get paid. So Alan, am I saying this right?
Yes, because of the fact that the mutual fund investment is totally separate
right.
from the estate attorney fees and the
right.
estate, no way does the mutual fund
charge
benefit no. from a charging fee for no. an estate issue.
No.
It's the estate, the attorney of the estate who's controlling the estate that's charged.
Whoever was in charge of that, whatever attorney or law firm is, and let's say they charge $500 an hour and it was 1,000 hours, that could be $500,000, $50,000 that took out of that pie before it got distributed to the beneficiaries. Now, that is, yes. Hey, you ever notice attorneys are driving Rolls Royces and Bentleys and stuff?
Some are.
Some are.
Right? Some are in jail, too.
Some are in jail. Well, that's only, hey, attorneys, right? Look at this guy over here.
He's not in jail. He's never been. I've never seen him at the post office, the picture. Never, ever. And I always look at those great pictures.
1-888. Yeah, but look at that disguise he's got all over. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So remember, the group is this. Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, which, let me pat her on the back a little bit. She's only been in real estate, I think, since 1978.
That's right. Correct.
I don't think I was even born yet.
You weren't.
And you're only 30 years old still?
That's right.
I know. It's a miracle. Anyway, and 100%, nobody works harder that I've ever met in my entire life, period. I don't care what business it is than you. You've only got two speeds. She's either working or sleeping. Telling you, that's just about, back before we had cell phones, if she was in the car, she would talk business all the time. We'd be driving across the state, and I say, Vic, be quiet. She'd fall asleep immediately.
It's a true story. I was in the back seat. We were coming from Maryland. We had been there for a show or something.
All I know is that the girl, now with cell phones, she doesn't have to sleep.
That's true.
Poor Mike Paulus, he gets a text at 3 in the morning from Victoria because she's awake. She figured, what the heck? I might as well work. So his wife gets this text and says, who is this from?
Jake from State Farm.
Yeah. And what are you wearing?
What are you wearing?
That was the khaki pants. But you know, I would think that somebody would have their phone on mute at that hour.
Anyway.
You never assume anything,
you
right?
You never assume anything. We all know that gets you in trouble. Anyway, the constant of the group is credibility, integrity. We're here to help people, answer questions any way we can. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. I can't tell you what wonderful things he's done for people. In fact, if Mike Paulus was sitting here,
I'm surprised he's not.
He's pretending he's working or he's out playing in the Bahamas. You never know with Mike.
No, I was just talking about a client, so I hopefully he's working. Not today, the other day.
Yeah, right. The key thing is with Mike, this is something that when people buy a house, they get a mortgage, and they have to have a ratio of income to debt to qualify for that. In other words, if you have too much debt, you can't buy that house and qualify for that loan. Well, they put into the payment principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Well, if the insurance cost is way too high, sometimes people can't qualify for the loan.
That's true. We've had that a couple times. We had to go reshop it.
Dan has been able to help numerous times for Mike and you, but Mike in particular, in making sure these deals close because he got them the cart and the horse in the proper order. Greg Fasula, attorney, I got to tell you, and if Dan was sitting here, he and I don't laugh about it, but we have seen attorneys do these beautiful, embossed, stamped gold books that you weigh that are called trust documents that nobody reads. They're so full of fluff and useless information, and they charge exorbitant fees for them. And I have sat and watched guys do this, and it made me sick to my stomach. Greg is not that way. Greg does meat. When you get a trust and all the documents that he puts together, there's no fluff. This is what you need to have done, and it's 100% legal. When you do a trust or a will with Greg Fasula, and I think most attorneys, but let me just talk for him. Let's just say you get a will. He's also going to suggest a power of attorney. Power of attorney means somebody can make decisions for you. Let's say you're out to lunch, you're in the hospital in an accident, and you can't make decisions. You got to pay your bills. Well, that power of attorney would allow you to pay bills, do certain things. It has different things. A healthcare surrogate, same scenario. I'm in the hospital. I'm in a coma. Doctors want to operate on me, but they don't want to operate without authority from somebody because they don't want to be sued. So the healthcare surrogate has the authority to say yes, no, or maybe.
I think that's very important. I had that with my parents because yeah. That's what I had with. I took care of them for everything, sure. As Joe knows. But that really helps, especially when you're in the hospital.
That's a monster. Yeah. Next one is a living will. Living will says, hey, keep me alive. I don't care. I want to be on life support for the next 70 years. I don't care.
That's me.
Or
because I'll come back.
Or it might just say, unplug me immediately. I don't want to be on artificial life support. Some people might say, keep me on for 2 weeks. But basically, it puts down in writing what your desires are so that somebody else doesn't have to make that decision. So when Greg, or when I say most good attorneys, put these documents together, they're not going to be just one piece of thing. It's the will or trust, healthcare surrogate, power of attorney, living will. Is that all of them?
Healthcare, did you say?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
I think I covered them all. But anyway, the concept is, and then to find somebody that's user-friendly, Greg is maybe the only attorney I know that is not arrogant, not pretentious. He's a good listener. He's patient. He wears an unusual hat for an attorney.
Yeah, he probably wants to choke you, but you don't realize it.
Well, he has wanted to choke me on occasion, especially when I tell him.
Especially when they're that calm. What's going on inside?
What he's
going
to charge. Anyway.
Well, stay out of trouble, Joe.
Stay out of trouble. That's the truth. Anyway, the next scenario I want to talk about just for about 10 minutes. We got about 10 minutes left here, it looks like.
Well, not quite 10.
9 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well, how come
seconds?
The clock says I got 11? Don't trust it.
Well, you don't.
I don't.
I like about it. Four minutes, 5 minutes maybe.
It's 4:48.
Well, no, we got more than that.
It's 4:48 right now.
How much time do you think I have?
I give you 5 minutes at 4:53.
Oh, okay. I'm going to clock them.
What happens at 4:53?
You're doing a self-describe.
I get five more. Oh, okay. So it's 4:48. Guess what? That's pretty much on time.
That is.
I've got pretty close.
Here comes a call.
Oh, my gosh.
This is good.
Maybe.
We got a call. Hey, you know what? We got 10 minutes time for calls, so let's get some calls. Anybody's got questions we can help you with? Dial toll-free 1-888-221-8990. And remember, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call anytime during the week, and they'll take your name and number, and whoever needs to get it to, they'll get it to the right person to take care of you. 1-888-221-8990. So now I've talked about mutual funds, talked about exchange-traded funds. Let me talk about taking this mutual fund or this exchange-traded fund and putting insurance on top of it that in case the market goes down, your money's protected. Does that sound like a good deal?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great deal.
Well, that's what's called an annuity contract, and you have to be concerned about which company you're dealing with because my compliance people want me to say that rules are that you have to know the claims paying ability of the company, so we're only going to deal with the highest rated companies. But basically, you can put insurance together with this investment like right now, I can't say this is guaranteed to happen, but the S&P 500, the NASDAQ this year are up good around 10 or 12%.
About 12%.
Okay. So if you were in this vehicle, you'd be up 10 or 12%.
That's good.
But what if the market goes back down? Well, the insurance company very often says, well, here's what we'll do. We'll guarantee you 5% income on that for the rest of your life on whatever the high number is. No matter if it goes down, makes no difference. We're going to still protect it. They also very often say, fine, we'll even protect it in case you die. You put in this $10,000, now it's down to $5,000 because the market tanked, but we'll guarantee your family that $10,000, maybe plus 5% a year. There's all kinds of wrinkles we can put into this to protect your money. And there's other little tiny things that happen with this contract. One of the big ones is, if you get sued, it can't be taken away from you. Now, is that a big deal? Only if you get sued.
Yeah.
You know, when you could lose everything you've got. Some of the high risk profiles, let's say you're a surgeon, there's a lot of high risk jobs that are more susceptible to being sued. This is a very smart thing for people to do to protect their money. Now, you have to look at it. Insurance companies get paid also. Back again, nobody works for free. So you have to look at the variables and say, does this fit me? Some instruments, there's no commission paid up front, but they have penalties if you take the money out early. Some you pay the commission up front, you can take it whenever you want, no penalty. You have to look at these variables. And I'm trying not to make it too complicated, but it is complicated. So normally when I sit with somebody, I try to find out what they're looking to accomplish, how old they are, how much time they've got, whether they want to use that money to go buy a house next month or a car, or whether they want to save it for retirement. We have different vehicles that we would look at based on the horizon and on their what's called risk tolerance. So all of these things have to be put into this pie, and then my job is to educate you. And then you call me up 6 months later and say, Joe, tell me what you told me 6 months ago that I forgot.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a client, I was talking about the one I met out on the boating that I've known him for 20 some years. Her husband had died some years ago, and he was a brilliant, brilliant aeronautical engineer with multiple patents, aeronautical patents, brilliant guy. But when I talked money, he glazed over. It just never sunk in. He just couldn't, it just couldn't get past. I remember him saying, Joe, I trust you. And I said, Bob, thank you, Lord, that you can, because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, because you can't trust everybody.
You cannot.
You cannot.
So the key thing that you want to do, you want to learn the best you can, and then find out somebody that's been around for, you know, I often say if people have been around for at least 5 years in our town, I feel pretty good, whether it's a mechanic or whatever, because people come and go so much.
It's true.
If it's 10 or 20 years, that's just that much better. I look at Dan, only 38 years. I mean, let's face it, if that's a long time. Now, he looks old. That's because he is.
Yeah, I feel like I gave birth to this town.
Yeah,
but there's those 12 kids I wanted, Joe.
Yeah, yeah,
now I gave
right.
birth to a whole town, Martin and St. Lucie County.
Yeah, you've been here forever.
I know.
Yeah.
Some are good kids and some are bad, though.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joe, one thing as far as what we've been talking about today, as far as the mutual fund pie and exchange-traded
right.
funds, is the word performance. And we don't have enough time today, but I think one of the things that people should hone in more is you don't just look at the bottom line of somebody's performance. In other words, if somebody is trying to say to you, I've done this percentage in so much of a time, and next week, if you'd like, I think we should delve into that a little bit more, talking about some of the things that go into looking at performance of different vehicles, and how do you determine what really is and what really isn't good performance?
Well, here comes a magic thing, and in the business it's called chasing performance. Very often, a mutual fund can be rated very highly because they're making, let's say, 10% a year for the last 5 years. Let's just say that. Does that mean they're gonna make 10% next year? No. So just because they did it in the past doesn't mean they're gonna do it in the future. Why would you look at it a little more objectively? Well, let's take a fund that's based in Greece as an example. Greece has done abysmally in the last couple of years. They have major, major problems in that country from an economic standpoint. but their bonds are paying 8% and 10% and 12% because they're the highest risk in the world. Does that mean they're going to pay? Good question. Does that mean they're going to be insolvent? Good question. There are places on Earth where you might see astronomical amounts of money, but there may not be protection. So you've got to weigh all of these different things that go on. So when I look at how a mutual fund is rated or how they have performed in the past, that means, excuse me, as much as two dead flies to me, because it really depends on the underlying investments. And let's just take the NASDAQ 100. NASDAQ is like 4,000 companies, but the top 100 companies are heavily weighted with some of the biggest tech names, Amazon and Facebook. And, well, boy, they have done extremely well. Are they going to continue to do extremely well? Good question. What's my personal belief? Well, guess what? I have learned that things like Amazon and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all these things seem to be the wave of the future. Now, is this time to get into them? Sometimes, like if we had gotten into Microsoft years ago, we'd be worth a fortune. If we got into Apple years ago, we'd be worth a fortune. But sometimes things get up to a full boat and they're not quite as exciting looking as they were just a short time ago. So we have to weigh, again, when I talk to Pastor Dave or to anybody and we start looking at what you want to accomplish, we've got to look at your risk tolerance, how much time you've got. Like I talk about exchange traded REITs, tradable REITs, REIT. Most of them now, these REITs are paying around a 10% dividend. That's wonderful. Are they always going to? Magic question. When real estate is good, they're paying very well. Is real estate always going to be good? Probably not, because it's always had this roller coaster. How long is it going to be good? I don't know, but I'm guessing a couple years at least, and maybe longer. It really depends on all of the variables that get in the way, politics and the economy and the Fed and on and on and on. So the things that I like to do with people is to make sure that the things that I do are 100% liquid, meaning I can buy it today and I can sell it tomorrow. Liquid. I don't want things that I'm stuck with that I might have to take a hit. So 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time. In fact, we just got a 1 minute wave.
1 minute. Yeah.
Don't you love what Pastor Tom did for you by giving you those cards?
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I wouldn't know how to do this otherwise.
I know you wouldn't. I mean, to say 1 minute, Joe, is tough.
I've only got 10 fingers.
And I know.
You should have a big mouth on it. One more minute. You know, it's funny, Joe. We got to tell everybody. You know, you have to have a beginning to have an ending. And, you know, we sit here and we talk and people listen to us. But if you really want to make a move on investments or real estate, you just have to get started.
Yeah.
And if you never get started, you'll never get anywhere in life. So don't always get confused and complicated because things are so easy.
But you got to learn to begin. And then you can always get more sophisticated with some time. I mean, I've had people
come in. But it's people like us that they need to speak with so we can get them started in the right direction.
And now we are out of time.
Seconds. We're down to seconds.
We're down to seconds. Alan, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Good. Victoria, goodbye. Joe, goodbye. Pastor Dave, say goodbye.
I'll say goodbye too.
Good night.
Until next week.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
He comes upon a place of famine, with food in his hands. people come from miles around. They have heard and want to meet this generous man. They're not a word.